American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you for on the internet for Friday, May 6, 2005. Friday, TGIF, that means thank, well, it should be TSIF. Thanks, server, it's Friday. Well, you don't really have to thank server, it's Friday, but we should maybe give props to server because of Friday. Nods to server. Nods to any sort of divine being. Divine nods on Friday. Friday's got the big bone chucking, whatever. We'll just kill some sheep and call it a day. Because this is Newsreel. Your daily report is the woke counterculture defeats the evil core political tyranny that is trying to enslave our very planet as we speak. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. And once you're there, you'll be able to follow all of my manic hyperlinks and read about my crazy daily schedule, as well as get all the links to the show news reports that I'm doing right now. But they're not really show news reports. They're news reports that are on the show. You know, we'll try to get through this as best we can. Don't you worry. I'm here, your host, Sean Kennedy, and we will make it through the night. Don't you worry about that. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, and OspreyRadio.info. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can give it to other radio stations, too, especially if you know some people at some radio stations. And why not? It's free, and it's good stuff, and that's why we do what we do here, to try to circulate free information out to the masses, to the logs in the trenches, for those of you working day-to-day, and, well, I mean, that's kind of an odd way to say it, though, isn't it? I mean, realistically, because everybody works day-to-day, don't they? I mean, we don't work week-to-week, or some people do, that's true. I mean, you know, like people who work graveyards. I worked a lot of graveyards, and graveyards, people who work graveyards are different, hey? You know, like when you work nights, you kind of get used to being like a night person, and things are a little bit different when you work at night. I found that out. It's like the rest of the world's asleep, and you're out there, you know, in the darkness, you know? And I've always kind of figured myself to be more of a night person than a day person. Day people, they're generally, you know, they seem to have condos, and they're all, you know, they got the little cul-de-sac and suburbia and kids playing with chalk on the road and stuff like that. You know, that's day people. Night people, generally, you know, they dress in leather, know how to dance, have the cool bikes. You know, that's night people. So I'd like to count myself more with the night people. Sean, you're being a, what would you call it, a time zonist? What would be like like instead of being a racist, you know, or sort of sexist, what would be someone who's more into night people than day people? We need to come up with some sort of a, you know, negative term for people who prefer night people over day people, because you can't have any preferences in today's day and society. No. Not in the age of being politically correct. But let's get into some feedback. Yes, I know. I'm going to set you up like that and then move into feedback. Yo, Sean, I was watching the Dr. Phil show, and I have no freaking idea if it's WOG, but dig this shit. It might piss you off. Well, I love that. People send me stuff that might piss me off. Now, listen to this. Imagine growing up with a family with 56 siblings. Oh, my God. Christmas morning would be a trip at that house. And a father who keeps a dozen wives. Well, pardon me, dozens. Plurals. Dozens of wives. I've got one wife, and I can barely keep up with that. It's happening in an unusual religious sect in Arizona, where girls as young as 14 are forced to marry men three times their age and have as many children as possible. Meet two of the girls who escaped to the world of polygamy and alleged abuse a year ago. Fearing that they'll be damned to hell for running away, they're even considering going back. The leader of this polygamous cult is Warren and Rulon Jeffs. Do you think me and my friend should get a huge WOG army together, bust down his door, and take him hostage until he calls off the ludicrous cult? You're so funny. Of course, we'd never actually do that, all my law enforcement brethren. No. No, we're all good law-abiding WOGs here, and we're going to withhold the name of this law-abiding WOG so that he doesn't wind up taking his ass to jail. Okay, well, now when it comes to the whole cult thing. And this is kind of an odd one because you have to find some kind of balance between cults and freedom, you know? Where a lot of people go, Sean, you're always calling down Scientology. True, true. I don't agree with Scientology whatsoever. However, I'm very quick to show that I do not hate the people in Scientology. The people are, well, chances are, they could even be walk candidates. The thing is, though, that they've just been misinformed. It's like if you take a computer and you do a bad install on it, is it the hardware's fault? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's all software, baby. So what we need to do is we need to get that software off of them. You know? Now, with these things, with these polygamy cults and stuff like that, it's kind of funny. But if, let's say, there was a country that existed right now that polygamy was just all straight set up in and it was running well and been running good for a couple hundred years, nobody would probably bat an eye about this polygamy thing. But it goes against our cultural norms. Polygamy will be attacked because, you know, the gay marriage thing is coming through. And there's a lot of conservatives who are like, well, if you say it's okay for gays to marry, pretty soon people will be having sex with goats. You know, and that's sort of, it's a slippery slope. You let men hold hands, before you know it, you're hammering the cow. You know, that's their reality there, which isn't technically the case. I mean, when I read the whole, you know, gay marriage thing here in BC, I didn't, you know, jump to my feet, run immediately searching for sheep with the Velcro gloves on. That wasn't the very first thing I did. I had breakfast first. But in all seriousness, you've got to look at this and go, well, you know, how do we feel about the polygamy thing? I think it's wrong that these girls are forced into it, you know, but you've got to bear in mind that people need to have their freedom. And when you start talking about what they have the right to do or talk about or force into action with their children and stuff. Now, if they're 14, I don't know what the legal age of consent is. But this is that horrible, sticky little area, you know. This is that horrible, sticky area where you need to have law enforcement. And whoever winds up having to do that law enforcement, well, they're the sharp end of the stick, aren't they? And there's absolutely no way that you can enforce something like this without coming across looking like some Orwellian psycho. Now, next one. Hey, Sean. I'm just curious why you carry a knife. Well, all God's creatures have knives. What's the main reason why you carry a knife? I carry it for utility purposes. I use my knife for opening boxes. Anytime that I ever feel that there could be a box or maybe a bag of chips, that's why I carry a cold steel Pathfinder. Have you ever had a cop confiscate your knife? Absolutely not. I've never had a police officer confiscate my knife because I've never had reason to take my knife out in public or flash it around or show it to people in a very loud and in charge kind of way. I've never been in a knife fight. I've only ever used my knife for utility purposes, which is why you have a knife too. And if any police officer asks you, why do you carry a knife? You say, well, you know, my dad always carried a knife, made me promise I'd carry a knife, always carried one. It was never a big deal, officer. And then you open it with two hands and show it to the guy. So if you carry a knife for any other reason than that, you will be arrested because it can be considered a weapon. So that's why you carry a knife. Everybody understand? Moving right along. Dear Sean, I'm someone who has listened to you since an early episode of SKTFM. Well, there's no listening bigotry here. I give you the same respect I give everyone else, but thank you. I've never felt the need to send you anything until now, but now there's a deep burning desire within my heart. I paraphrase that. I've heard you say many times, friends don't let friends take art. Oh, that's halfly joking. And I should be stated that I did graduate high school with my major in arts. I got there with art. Certainly sounded incredibly lame when I said I graduated high school. Like, everyone's like, holy cow, did he really? And your theory of those with art degrees can't get jobs. Well, no, that's it's difficult. Okay, it's more difficult. And I know there's people who are just naturally have art skills, but it doesn't mean they are as capable to get a job in the industry compared to someone who's been educated in the arts. I have my degree in art and design. It's what I've wanted to do since the second grade. I've never let anyone tell me I shouldn't do what I want to do. I'm not a starving artist. I work for a large virtual reality application center in the States. Oh my God, I'm jealous. This is my second year and I'm making $74K doing what I love. Oh my God, I'm not a starving artist. Oh, pardon me. I'm not a starving artist, and you haven't opened your mind enough to how large the art industry is. I'm doing 3D modeling and animation, and I could work in the video game industry, movie industry, etc. There's a lot of money in the arts if you know where to look. The current project I'm working on is virtual reality applications for the U.S. Air Force. Well, don't just tell me that. Send me some gear. Sure, when the bombs drop, artistic skills and something the world is going to need right away. I disagree. Actually, I think it will, because there'll be a lot of people who need hope, and that's something that art can bequeath, but I digress. That's okay, because I am WOG and I am versatile. At least for the time being, I'm doing what I've always wanted to do. Huge fan, Malik Acid. Okay, well, I'll tell you something right off the top there, Malik. If you let anybody tell you that you can't you cannot pursue a career in the arts, like meaning that, oh, you shouldn't take arts. And if you decide, well, you're probably right, then you don't have got the intestinal fortitude to make it in the art scene. Okay, let me tell you, trying to make it with the arts is very, very hard. Okay, as a writer, okay, as a person here, I didn't make it as a writer and as an artist. And, you know, we don't need to get into why that's the case, because those of you out there who've read my books would probably be able to orchestrate the point better than I would. But the point is here is that it's very, very difficult, okay? Now, if you have some skills which can be applied, true, the video game industry is a multi-billion dollar industry and it has opened some things up. But it should also be stated that I believe engineering is an art. Okay, I also believe that if I'm going to have someone design me a vehicle, I'd rather have someone who has a really strong understanding of anime, manga, who understands what it is for cool mecha, things like that. This is what makes things cool. We need artists to be engineers, otherwise the rest of society will wind up living in boxes until they die. So I, not to say that, I'm not, don't ever misconstrue that I devalue art. Okay, I think that art is very essential. As a matter of fact, it could be argued that art is what makes humans human. It is a physical manifestation of emotional will is what art is. And I believe it to be very, very important. However, it is hard to find work in an artistic field because there's a great many people in that field, in a large series of areas in that field, and you must be very, very good in that field in order to get a job. So, you know, how do you handle that? How do you say, well, you know, I don't know, la, 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 la. It's true. I suppose... Friends, don't let friends take arts, because there is a lot of people who have master's degrees in arts and German. There's people who have like masters in really weird, you know, like basket weaving and stuff like that. And my concern is not that people will take art applicable skills. My concern is that people will take like these weird bullshit degrees, spend god awful amounts of money, and at the end of it, they wind up asking you if you want to supersize that sucker. That's my fear. So don't misconstrue me and think that, you know, oh yeah, Sean hates the arts. Oh no. This whole show is about the arts. This whole show is about the ability for people to do art. So, you know, don't think that. But it is, you will admit that it is rather difficult to find gainful employment in the artistic, side of things. It is rather difficult. It can be done, though. It can be done. And, you know, it actually makes me feel fantastic that there's a guy out there who listens to the show who's involved in virtual reality research with the Air Force, because that means he's going to send me a jet with a VR hookup, and I'll be like that guy from Macross Plus, and that'll be hot. I already emailed him. He said he would. He's promised. If he doesn't, we're going to come to his house and get him. Greetings again, SK. Here's a thought. I've been meaning to send you this for a while. If you ever need anonymous high-speed internet access, I have to recommend truck stops. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Many of the large chain truck stops now offer Wi-Fi service, and further than that, it's out of the way, too, and you can get it on the fly. You can just go in and buy whatever increment you need and pay for it with cash. You don't have to set up an account through a web interface, but as far as I've seen, you don't have to verify any of your personal information. Ooh, that won't be going on for very long. Of course, you can probably do this at Starbucks coffee shops, but in a truck stop, you could tap in from a much broader area. Plus, there's usually so many people just passing through, no one will notice that guy in the corner messing around on his laptop. Just a few thoughts to chew on. That's from Fat Ninja. And nobody messes with fat ninjas. It's very, very true. Thanks, man. That's an awesome idea. And you know what? When I was going down through the States and I saw, you know, the little signs that say, warning, audio surveillance on our house and all the rest of it. Yeah, I noticed that a lot of the truck stops have Wi-Fi access. I got a lot of time for truckers. You know, those people really, you know, there's not a lot of bullshit on the highway. So I think that, you know, that's another one of those WOG-type occupations that are pretty hot. Getting into the news. How disconnected are we? This, now, you know... There was that teddy bear that, you know, you had that you could put in your kid's room, and then you could log in through the teddy bear, look through the teddy bear's eyes, talk to your child through the moving mouth of the teddy bear, like all Ruxpin style, and then, you know, the teddy bear would apparently be able to hug the child. Now, if you are having to use a robotic teddy bear to hug your child, okay, I think you're missing the point of parenting here. Just a thought, you know. Your child is not being raised by you vicariously through the droid. Your child is being raised by droids! Droids, damn it! All right, well, check this out. How disconnected can you possibly be? Italian designers have developed a hugging T-shirt for people in long-distance relationships. Sick and weird. The T-shirt simulates the missing partner's breath, touch, and heartbeat. No, it does not. The F plus R Hugs T-shirt has fitted sensors that the designer claims realistically simulates a partner's caress. Sure, if your partner's a washing machine... It's based on information on body temperature and heat and touch transmitted by a mobile phone. Okay. mobile phone. Heat and touch transmitted by mobile phone. I'm making out with my phone through my sensory input of my T-shirt. The sensors are installed in upper arms, back, hips, shoulders, and T-shirt and recreate the physical pressure of a hug by inflating and deflating at the touch of a button. The T-shirt was developed by Francesca Rosella, a graduate from the Interaction Design Institute, Ivra, near Turin. Is that like the Shroud of Turin, Turin? All right. Now, I'm all for, you know, cybernetic enhancements, but, you know, don't bullshit me, okay? Don't be, like, handing me this T-shirt like some carny barker and tell me that, you know, this is going to simulate a hug of my loved one, all right? Because if your loved one hugs you like an inflatable T-shirt, it's time to get a new loved one, okay? Because I'm here to tell you, there is no way that T-shirt would be able to simulate what I can do with my arms. Holy crap. That is just sad. And if you are so disconnected you're getting hugs from your T-shirt, well, you know, it's time to reconsider your position in life. Commence the book burning. A college production tells the story of Matthew Shepard, a student beaten to death because he was gay. And soon it could be banned in Alabama. A Republican Alabama lawmaker, Gerald Allen, says homosexuality is an unacceptable lifestyle. Well, imagine that. An Alabama lawmaker saying gays are unacceptable. And the CBS News correspondent Mark Strassum reports, under his bill, public school libraries could no longer buy new copies of plays or books by gay authors or about gay characters. So we'll just sweep all the gays under the rug because, you know, they got all uppity, those uppity faggots, you know, and we'll sweep them under the rug. It I don't look at it as censorship. This is what Gerald Allen said. Says, I don't look at it as censorship. I look at it as the righteous hammer of God coming down upon the desensitized, unwashed gay. Oh, no, that's not what he said. I look at it as protecting the hearts and souls and minds of our children. And I look at it as fascist dogma, you piece of shit. Books about gay authors would have to go. Tennessee Williams, Truman Capote, Gore Vidal, Alice Walker's novel, The Color Purple, has lesbian characters. All them gone. No good. Get it out of here. Allen originally... Islands in the Net, history. Allen originally wanted to ban some Shakespeare. After criticism, he narrowed his bill to exempt the classics, although he still can't define what a classic is. Also exempted is Alabama's public and college libraries. Well, that's good. Librarian Donna Schremer fears that the thought police will be patrolling her shelves. No kidding. And so the idea that we would have a pristine collection that represents one political view, one religious view, that is not a library, says Schremer. I think it's absolutely an absurd bill, says Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And so does the rest of the thinking human race. Don't feel bad. What in the hell is going on in the Deep South? You know, I understand that you folks want to set it all up so that, you know, you got good, decent, clean folk down there without all those filthy faggots trying to get at your children. But I put it to you, the people who are trying to get at your children are not, in fact, gay people, or the less correct term, filthy faggot. The reason why they're, you know, you're afraid, you're not afraid of gay people, you're afraid of pedophiles. And on that front, you and I are on the same page, you know? Hands across America, I have a dream where Leathermen and Klansmen and black rights leaders all hold hands and beat down the pedophiles, you know? Think about it. Six or seven different people all hunting pedophiles through the streets. What a vision. You know? Hot damn. I'd be all for that. So, you know, it's not really that you're wrong, which, you know, you are. But you're wrong because you're misplacing that aggression. You think gay people are going after your kids. I've got news for you, gay people. I've never, ever heard of gay men actively hunting children. Now, there's pedophiles who hunt children. But, you know, people try, and this is something that they're doing in the news right now. They're trying to draw that correlation between gay people and pedophiles. Weird. Weird. I don't know where that comes from. I guess it sort of hints that gay people are perverted, and therefore perverts go after children. That's how it's sort of hinted. But unfortunately, this is wrong. This is not the case. Pedophiles go after children. Gay people just like people of the same gender. And quite often, they prefer people who are a little bit older. So, you know, work on it. Work on it. You're coming along. You know, please give your head a shake. You know, and get back to me on it. Now, here is some cyberpunk kit, which is better than the April Fool cyberpunk kit I mentioned on April Fool's Day, and that's a pseudo-holo display. Check this bad boy out. The Helio display includes a patent-pending technology on proprietary trade secrets, period. Full stop. Don't even think about opening a box. It explodes if you do. In absence of the executed non-disclosure agreement, the following is all that we can disclose at this time. Ah, come on. The Helio display requires a power outlet and a computer TV, DVD, or alternate video source. The Helio display is backward compatible and accepts most 2D video sources as well, PC, DVD, game console. For connection to a computer, the Helio display uses a standard VGA monitor connection. For TV, DVD viewing, uses RGB viewing. Big deal. Helio display images are easily viewed in an office environment. Like any computer monitor or TV, images appear brighter in lower ambient light. Also, just like viewing any computer monitor or TV viewing, the Helio display indirect sunlight is almost... a Helio display in direct sunlight is almost impossible. So what this box is, it looks like a box, and it broadcasts this picture into the air. Okay, not only that, but the picture is a touchscreen. A hand or finger can act as a mouse. No special glove or pointing device is required. You just use the mouse and move the cursor traditionally as you would on a computer monitor. You can use the finger to move the cursor around the Helio display image. The Helio display connects to the computer, at least a Pentium 3, 400. And it only costs you about $19,000. What this thing looks like, this is $19,000 US, but what you wind up with is a box that projects, it's not 3D, but from the front it may as well be, this little like moving... looks like a holographic two-dimensional image. It's very, very sexy. It's not $19,000 sexy, but it's very sexy. So, you know, we'll just... And in the land of cyberpunk kit, once you look at that, I mean, dude, that's hot. There's nothing you can really do without one of these things. I mean, wow. The applications for this are just monstrous. Now, going along with the gay, you know, burning books bill and all that sort of stuff, did you know that prison camps have already been built to hold people all over the United States and that are currently being held empty? It's true! There are over 600 prison camps in the United States that are fully operational and ready to receive prisoners. They're all staffed and even surrounded by full-time prison guards. They're all empty. These camps are operated by FEMA. Remember FEMA? Dusex FEMA? The Federal Emergency Management Agency. Should martial law need to be implemented in the United States? Nothing like a little bit of, you know, prior planning. The Rex 84 program was established on the reasoning that if a mass exodus of illegal aliens crossed the Mexican-U.S. border, get those filthy Mexicans out of here, they would be quickly rounded up and detained in the detention centers by FEMA. Yeah, that's wrong on so many levels. Rex 84 allows many military bases to be closed down and turned into prisons. Operations Cable Splicer and Garden Plot are two sub-programs which will be implemented once the Rex 84 is initiated for its proper purpose. Garden Plot is a program to control the population. Cable Splicer is a program for an orderly takeover of the state and local governments by federal government. I see. FEMA is the executive arm of the coming police state and thus will head up all operations. The presidential executive orders already listed on the Federal Register are also part of the legal framework for this operation. Now, tell me if this scares the living shit out of you. The camps all have railroad facilities as well as roads leading to and from detention facilities. Many also have an airport nearby. The majority of the camps can house a population of 20,000 prisoners. Currently, the largest of these... installations is outside of Fairbanks, Alaska. The largest of these facilities is just outside of Fairbanks, Alaska. The Alaskan facility is a massive mental health facility. Oh, yes, because we all know that anyone, you know, I, of course, will be going there, and can uphold approximately 2 million people at the Alaskan gulag up there. Now, of course... That makes a lot of sense to take these Mexican invaders and then ship them to Alaska in the gulag. Or does that make sense? No, in fact, it does not. So who are the 2 million people going to Alaska? You know, that's what I want to know. Now, people will say, Sean, you were talking about, you know, these invaders and blah, 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 blah. Well, there's a far cry difference between someone who wants to come into a country to have a better life and roving rabid packs of gangs who are smuggling drugs and snakeheads and exploiting young women and setting up, you know, snakehead-style slave wage systems and whatnot. Okay, there's a big difference between the person who wishes to make a better life for himself and snakeheads who are invading. And that's my problem. And I also have a huge problem with a mental health facility that houses 2 million people. That's a bit much, don't you think? Aren't you sort of anticipating quite a lot of crazy people? And in birth profiling news, can't miss this. Plans to fingerprint all newborn babies in Malaysia have come under attack from civil liberties groups. Now, there's a lot of these third world nations that are bringing in this, birth profiling thing happening here. Police officers hope to store the information on a computer database to help catch criminals in the future. They're not even saying it's for safety reasons. They're saying it is for crime. They are proposing that all newborns should have their palm prints and footprints recorded. Would that actually even matter? Because don't your fingerprints, wouldn't that change so much you wouldn't be able to pick that up? Wouldn't there be a large margin for error there? Rights groups have described the proposal as ill-conceived and accused the police of wanting to treat all children as potential criminals, which, in fact, they are. Police hope that computer software can allow for the growth of baby hands and feet to adult proportions and match marks found at crime scenes to innocent dabs given years before. Well, software can do that, but then your margin for error kind of increases. Officers believe the move would improve the force's detection rate, and they may ask for a change in the law to allow it. However, civil liberties groups in Malaysia are dismissing the fingerprints proposal as poorly thought out and illogical. The rights group Voice of the Malaysian People, or SURAM, has accused the police of wanting to treat all children as potential criminals. Well, they are treating children like potential criminals, and you know what? That's the same mentality that we're going to see over here. Now, normally, I don't like to rip on Scientology directly, but this is a prime example of how Scientology has messed up my buddy Tom. Tom Cruise, good guy, Top Gun, Mission Impossible dude, Tom Cruise, very cool. Some celebrities always make headlines, and Tom Cruise is one of them. And this time, he's in the news for his improved IQ. Tom Cruise has thanked Scientology for helping him achieve things he thought were impossible. Well, everybody, let me get through this. The actor feels so empowered by the teachings of the religion that he's achieved a dream he thought was out of his reach, including flying planes and producing movies. A celebrity portal, Female First, reported. The actor told Britain's premier magazine, Scientology is an applied religious philosophy. It gives tools to improve your conditions. Tools I have learned in terms of literacy that allow me to fly planes and produce movies. My literacy level, IQ, is up. Now I know I can learn anything. Wow. I'm not a Scientologist, and I'm pretty sure I could learn anything, too. As a matter of fact, anybody who's a wog would, by their very definition, be adaptable and versatile, and therefore also be able to learn anything. So you know what, Tom? Hey, I tell you what, pal. I'm not going to take a dime from you. I'm not going to exploit you. I'm not going to use your position to promote the wog status, because we don't need to. Okay? And at any point, when you eventually wake up, and come out of it, Tom, when you get out of there and realize, wait a minute, I'm being screwed over. I hope the wogs have enough power that we can just take you in, fix you up, and get you right on the back road. We'll just make you watch Fight Club a bunch of times, set you down, put you through a nice media circuit, or crank open your brain, get rid of all the crap, get you a nice, decent firearm, and you'll be doing well. Don't you worry, Tom. Anytime you're ready, buddy, you just drop on by and I'll set you up. Now, this is a classic problem when dealing with the military. The military all the time, the military-industrial complex, Again, the people who buy the equipment for the troops do not listen to the troops. The reason for this is obvious. The reason for this is because there's big money in supplying the army with stuff. So it's all about cash changing hands, and the troops are the guys who take it in the teeth. Now, the latest thing in that particular saga, this has been going on for years and years and years, is the Army's Stryker. Falwear sent this to me, I believe. The Army's most modern troop carrier, the Stryker, has failed to adequately protect soldiers from certain explosives devices and has demonstrated problems ranging from seatbelts that don't fit around armored soldiers to tires that have to be replaced frequently, an internal Army report indicates. Well, okay, the seatbelt thing is binned anyway because nobody's using a seatbelt in combat. The light armored vehicle, engineered by Sterling Heights and General Dynamics Land System, is touted as the future of Army transportation, made its debut in Iraq over objections by some officials that it wasn't ready to be fielded. Everything from the vehicle's communications technology overheated to the accuracy of its weapon system were called into question in the report published by the Center for Army Lessons Learned and made public Thursday by the Project on Governmental Oversight, a nonprofit watchdog group. So apparently the Stryker is a piece of poo. It has several flaws and some challenges, which is nice saying it's all fucked up like February, said Eric Miller, defensive investigator and oversight group. We are concerned that it wasn't tested well enough and was kind of rushed through. When you send something like an armored vehicle into combat and it's not really tested, you give soldiers a false sense of security. Yes, bad kit equals dead troops, okay? Straight up. The Army report was based on interviews this fall in Mosul, Iraq, with the 3rd Brigade, 2nd Infantry Division, Striker Brigade combat team. I bet you they had some choice words for those. The Pentagon spokesman defended the Striker and said the report showed the Army was willing to go in and retool after the development phase, make sure the vehicle works well in real-life situations. Yes, you can go in and retool it, but you better make sure that the stuff works. You better make sure it's battle-tested. Why don't you ask the troops what they want to use, because they know because they're on the ground. And some pencil pusher sitting behind a desk who's all chairborne is not going to be able to tell you what kind of vehicles you should be driving around the streets on. The guys on the ground, listen to your ground intelligence. Jesus, that pisses me off. People make me so mad, you know? They think that I'm all about the army when I'm actually all about the soldier. I'm all about the soldier cross-enforcement-wise. Whether it be a man who holds a machine gun or be a man who uses a service revolver, I'm all about the enforcement, okay? We need to have enforcement. You must not forget that. All these, you know, protesters and activists are like, you know, anarchy, anarchy. It's bullshit, guys. It's total bullshit. You're not going to achieve anything. You're going to have road warrior anarchy state. It won't work. So what you need to do is you need to make sure that the people making policy are accountable, okay? Because you have to be able to control the sharp end in order to have your society running smoothly. Now, this, you know, when I was in the Canadian Army, we had a Guillotte, a French Guillotte. It was made by the French. It was a gun that replaced the C-1A1 howitzer, okay? And this gun had Pirelli tires on it, for crying out loud. It was supposed to be air-droppable, but the gun was a piece of crap. It's still a piece of crap. You know, compared to the old howitzers, it's not everything new is high-speed and low-drag. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's good. You've got to make that distinction. Being a WOG, it isn't just because it's new and shiny. It's got to be function over form. If your old artillery piece is doing the job and there's no improvements with the new artillery piece, you don't change artillery pieces. Okay? It's just the way it is. And the same tech is cross-genre, can be applied to anything. Now, you want to talk about bizarre news? The fact that I'm going to report on this, I have to report on this because it's just so incredibly bizarre, I can't believe it. Where we have, is this virtual reality news? Literally? EverQuest news. A number of people have written into Fault Line, pointing out a level of anger and frustration that has accompanied Sony's decision to open an asset exchange website for items that improve player standings in EverQuest, massively multiplayer online role-playing system, MMORPG. Now, simply put, most players would prefer the idea rather than promoting the idea of buying advanced characters, weapons, and in-game treasure. Sony instead uses technology to block the practice. Many are accusing Sony of betraying the community and using the exchange to simply make more money out of the players. Well, of course that's what they're doing. That's what businesses do. They have no other directive. They will do whatever it takes to make money. The really sad thing here is that MMORGs are just an amazing, MMORPGs, pardon me, are amazing, amazing tech. Okay, when you think about what they are, I mean, realistically, they're incredible. They are, in fact, an alternate dimension. Even though it's an alternate dimension under the control of the core political, I've oftentimes thought if you were to use the same technology that you utilize in Half-Life, to host like a first-person game over multiple servers, why doesn't somebody, you know, if I had the cash, this is what I do, I swear to God, I would create, a VR operating system, my internet browser would be called Eyes, just like out of After Now, and we would could create a form of a freely distributed server-style space to operate in, like a virtual 3D space. Maybe that is just crazy. Maybe it won't work, but I'm sure that there's something we could do. Maybe the open source software using a 3D engine or something. Take VRML, the concepts of VRML, and actually employ it so that people can have dedicated computers to WOG cyberspace or to just cyberspace. You know, so that we could get everybody into an open form of MMORPG that has no rules. And, well, there would be some rules, but, you know, that kind of a concept. I've always been fascinated with that idea. I'd love to get into something like that. Now let's get into some clone news. The birth of the first cloned animals in North Carolina may soon lead to advances in animal and human health. May soon lead to advances in animal and human health, particularly the prevention of Victorian teen growth retardation, whatever the hell that is. Wow, these guys got amazing names. Dr. George Piedratia. Team researchers at North Carolina State University College of Veterinary Medicine have successfully cloned a Duroc pig. Dun, dun, dun. You may recognize the Duroc pigs because they kill dinosaurs. Never mind, that's a Turok. Anyway, the resulting two piglets were recently weaned and are in excellent health. Now, pigs are actually highly intelligent, too. The births themselves are not particularly remarkable for the Theodra since he has cloned animals and previous research projects. The benefits to animals and human health that are noteworthy. Pedra is investigating instances of damage to genes during cloning and damages that can occur naturally. The cloning work we did here with the pigs shows us there are certain genes were dysregulated or damaged, showing us that some of those genes, also called imprint genes, could be imported to fetal development. We also looked to see if some of the affected genes were imprinted in humans. Pedra said it turns out that Pedra's group discovered two new imprinted genes that have never been reported before. So this is where you get that photocopy degradation that happens with clones. You know, you clone one, and then it's like a bit of a flaw, and then you clone it again, and there's more of a flaw. It goes from there. The implications are far-reaching. Well, all of this telling us that there are mechanisms that that dysregulate genes in the pigs can be translated into what's happening in humans. Pedra said, researchers tested 42 genes affected by imprinting in pigs and discovered that all 42 of those genes are also expressed in human placentas. So, you know, they want to clone humans so bad, it hurts. It hurts, you know? I just, you know, the Raelians say that they've already cloned, which obviously they have not, because if they had, well, you know, it would be all over but the crime. But they make the news, and, you know, they got their little bit of cult propaganda, and now they're off, you know, nailing each other in the closet somewhere, talking about how the aliens are going to come down and make them all shiny, shiny, happy, happy, just as soon as they can build that temple in the Middle East. Which nobody's building shit in the Middle East, so that's why the Raelians suck. UFO cult, race traitors, every last one of them. They'd rather throw in with the aliens than with the human race, and personally, not gonna wash for the wogs, baby. Now, smoking psycho. How's this for spin? According to recent scientific research, I'm gonna use the term scientific in huge quotations, derivatives of nicotine may alleviate psychiatric problems if they are administered medically. The study shows that nicotine switched on certain parts of the brain, which released pleasure chemical dopamine. According to the Mirror, University of Chicago researchers have warned that in schizophrenics and in patients suffering from Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, the potential benefits are greatly outweighed by other more adverse effects of nicotine. We have seen the report, but there's still a lot of research to be done in the area. A spokesman for the anti-smoking group, Action on Smoking Health, was quoted as saying, now, what I would answer that with would be like, wow, that's a great report. Let's do that exact same report. Okay, let's do the exact same test, trial, everything. But instead of tobacco, let's use weed. Yeah, we all know how that report would turn out. Anyway, more totalitarian profiling. Yes, getting back to that birth profiling concept, there's more of this. In Portugal. Oh, look at that. Oh, the whole world's getting online with this, hey? The recently elected Portuguese government has just announced plans to create a DNA database to aid in fighting crime. The idea is worth applauding, as Portugal is one of the few countries in the EU, along with Spain and Italy, that does not possess such a useful mechanism for crime investigation. Look at this report, man. They're just rah-rah with pom-poms over this shit. But apparently Spain and Italy have got it figured out, probably because Italy used to have Nazis there. However, the government's plan is much more ambitious. Portugal is to be the world's first country with a DNA forensic profile of every single one of its inhabitants. Time to move out of Portugal. Despite the threats that such a universal system poses to citizens' liberties, the country does not seem alarmed enough. So far, there has been little public debate. I wonder how much publicity it's getting. I wonder what the education level is over there. I wonder how much information is being distributed over there. That's why you're not getting anything being said. Genetic data poses no significant ethical or legal issues because, more than serving as an identifier, it can also convey sensitive personal information about the individual and his or her family. A number of fundamental rights might be infringed by a universal DNA database, namely the dignity of the person, the right to privacy, physical moral integrity, the right not to declare, the presumption of innocence, and the right to liberty. Other than those, it's totally fine. And most forensic databases, if most forensic databases only possess an identifying value found in the non-codifying parts of the DNA, Some others also store physical samples in UK, Austria. The custody of those physical samples is in a crucial issue for human rights groups. I don't want my DNA anywhere. And there are great fears that the genetic information could be used for purposes that are completely unrelated to identification. It is critical to assure that the databases will not be used by employers, insurance companies, or biomedical industry or others without the individual's informed consent. Now, here's a body snatcher concept here. Now, we already know that they can brainwash people, right? We already know that. MK Ultra, don't believe me? Check it out. Subliminal programming. So, what's to say that if there was, like, say, a leader or an activist, okay, like, say, myself, they went, Sean Kennedy, bang, got Sean. Arrest him. Boom. They grab me, and they've already got pre-ready, because they've already got my DNA registered, a clone they built. And they brainwashed the clone to sound and look and act just like me. And then they just do a swap. Swap him out. And suddenly, you'll get the clone Sean Kennedy newsreel. Dun, dun, dun. Hi, this is Sean Kennedy, and this is Newsreel. We're going to be talking about plants today, and we're also going to be discussing some of the greatest new fashions that have been on the market. I think you'd notice. I think there'd be something there that would just let you know that, you know, perhaps, you know, that's not the real Sean Kennedy. You're growing pot, people! So, you know, you want to watch that. You want to watch that? Beware of the cloned radiocasters. It's a problem. All of us need to be aware of cloned radiocasters. Now, they're getting hardcore in Africa, okay? African hardcore. Now, this is going to be one of those stories where people are going to want me to make a call on this and see, what do you think about this, Sean? Well, let me tell you. Down in Africa, they are very seriously considering doing chemical castration for sex offenders. This is nasty. A motion that could lead to the castration of rapists was passed in Parliament yesterday. Members of Parliament unanimously supported a motion allowing the introduction of sexual offenses bill and harsher penalties for sexual crimes. Moved by nominated MP Nochink Ndungan Narc, the motion wants sexual violences such as rape and defilement, to be clearly defined that their prosecution can be conducted faster and made more victim-friendly. It will now await drafting of a bill and further debate in the House. The motion proposes that chemical castration should be formulated into law as a punishment for repeat sexual offenders. Moving the motion, Ndung Yu blamed the existing attitude of sexual crimes and the leniency of current laws for the increasing cases of rape, pedophilia, and incest. Rape is misunderstood because it is mistaken as a case of sex, yet has nothing to do with sex, it is a crime, she told the House, which of course it is, it's a crime of violence, it's actually assault. Ndung Yu said statistics shows that two women were raped hourly in Kenya, and the figures were going up, so the two women are raped every hour in Kenya. She attributed this to the laxity in prosecuting crime and the high percentages of acquittal in courts of suspects on flimsy grounds. The motion further recommends free antiretroviral therapy for rape and infected with the HIV/AIDS virus, since evidence shows that 3 out of every 10 women raped end up with the infection. Wow. Wow. So, should they... I'm completely all for them getting free treatment for their disease, which they were afflicted with during the rape. But I don't think they should chemically castrate these people. No, I disagree. I think they should shoot them. I think they should be shot dead. I think that, you know, why? Why even bother? And, you know, okay, there's a margin of error possible. If a person's accused of rape, they could get convicted and they could be innocent, okay? Things could bounce that way and they get a false conviction. That is true. Okay, so at that stage of the game, you know, maybe you don't shoot them right away. But the second they're in there for the second charge and they're found guilty, take them outside, put them on their knees, and brainstem the sucker. Because you know what? Chemical castration is more expensive than the bullet, as far as I'm concerned. If you can't control yourself, where you are forcibly forcing yourself onto other people, invading them, assaulting them sexually, dude, get off my planet. Stop breathing my air. You're gone. Thanks for coming out. Brainstem. But nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that. So they're going to do the chemical castration. And for me, that's not good enough. That's not good enough, because chemical castration, what does it do? Does it make you docile? Well, you may as well kill them anyway, because you've destroyed them as a person. Does it make them so they're not docile? It's just they can't get a hard on? Well, I hate to tell you this, but rape, again, is not a sexual crime. It's a violent crime. So they'll just find other things to rape people with. Shovel handles and the like. Do you understand? So that's not really going to work. Nice try, though. Good attempt. not really where you want to be. Now, you remember a while back I was talking about how easy it was to join the Army. A guy wanted to join the Army. He's like, dude, I'm not going to be able to get in. And I said, guy, you phone a recruiter, and he will find a way to get you in. Well, listen to this. Easy to join up much. In an attempt to boost the slumping recruitments, the U.S. Army has started offering stronger incentives, including increased enlistment bonuses. But two recruiters from Colorado have been suspended as the Army investigates accusation that he encouraged a teenager to lie and cheat so he could join up. Reporter Rick Salinger of Denver TV station KCNC reports a 17-year-old high school journalist and honor student, David McSwain, was just the kind of guy the military would like. But McSwain tells Salinger, I want to see how far the Army would go during a war to get one more soldier. So says Salinger, McSwain contacted his local Army recruiting office in Golden with a scenario he created. For one thing, he told the recruiter he was a dropout and didn't have a high school diploma. No problem, McSwain, the recruiter explained. He suggested that McSwain create a fake diploma from a non-existent school. McSwain recorded that the reporter saying on the phone, it could be like Faith Hill Baptist School or whatever you choose. So, as instructed, McSwain went to a website and for $200 arranged to have a phony diploma created. It certified McSwain as a graduate of Faith Hill Baptist School, the very name the recruiter had suggested, and came complete with a fake grade transcript. What was McSwain's reaction to them encouraging him to get a phony diploma? I was shocked. I was sitting there looking at a poster that says integrity, honor, and respect, and he's telling me to lie. That's a great piece of propaganda right there, eh? And, says Salinger, there was more. The Army doesn't accept enlistees with a drug problem. But that's what McSwain pretended to have when he spoke to the recruiter. I have a problem with drugs. I can't kick the habit. Just marijuana, McSwain recalls telling the recruiter. And he says, not a problem. Just take this detox. He said he would pay for half of it and told me where to get it. Hurting for people. Drug testers Salinger contacted existed. It didn't work. But the recruiter claimed that in another recorded phone conversation that taking the detoxification capsules and liquid would help McSwain pass the required test. The two times that I had the guys use it, the recruiter says on tape, it worked both times. We didn't have to worry about anything. The original recruiter left Golden in a routine transfer, but another recruiter, Sergeant Tim Pickle, has picked up the ball. A friend of McSwain's shot a video as the sergeant drove McSwain to a store where he purchased the so-called detox kit. Salinger then went to the Army recruiting office and confronted Sergeant Pickle Salinger and played him the conversation McSwain that he had with Pickle on the phone, where Pickle reassures that Swain there are ways around McSwain's proposed problem with marijuana. So, you know, if you want to join the Army, chances are you're going to get in, okay? And apparently, if you're really keen, they're not going to be checking. All they want is their paperwork filled out. So if you show up with fake IDs, do a drug detox, boom, you're in. $200, you get yourself a nice career. Now, there is the other problem of the war going currently on and the fact that innocent people are dying everywhere. That's a bit of a bitch. But it could also be the flip side that innocent people die every day and you're either going to be part of the problem or part of the solution. You know, a lot of people are going to really love that statement, right? They'll be like, Sean, I can't believe you said that. Well, you know what? People need to eat. People need to have a viable income. People need to exist. And sometimes there are people out there that don't have any options. And maybe the Army is an option for those people. If you have another option, then maybe the military is not the way you want to go. But if you don't, well, it seems that there is some employment opportunity out there, but I would highly recommend against it, and I definitely recommend that you go and speak to a couple of current war vets before you start signing documents or faking ID. But, you know, hey, we all got to do what we got to do. Global weather news from NASA. Scientists have concluded more energy is being absorbed from the sun than is emitted back into space, throwing the Earth's energy out of balance and warming the globe. This is what NASA is saying. Scientists from NASA, Columbia University, New York, and Lawrence Berkeley in National Laboratory, Berkeley, California, so nobody really important, used satellites, data from buoys, and computer models to study the Earth's oceans. They confirmed the energy imbalances by using precise measurements increased ocean heat content over the last 10 years. Now, I reported about the buoys, but the satellites all together, it's a different. The study reveals Earth's energy imbalances is large by standards of the planet's history. The imbalance is 0.85 watts per meter squared. That will cause an additional warming of 0.6 degrees Celsius, 1 degree Fahrenheit, by the end of the century. To understand the difference, think of 1 watt light bulb shining over an area of 1 square meter, 10.76 square feet. Although it doesn't seem like much, Adding up the number of feet around the world creates a big effect. To put this number in perspective, an imbalance of 1 watt per square meter manifested for the last 10,000 years is enough to melt ice equivalent to 1 kilometer of sea level if there was that much ice. Scary. More global warming. You gotta love that stuff. Hey, you gotta love that stuff. And that's why WOGs need to be prepared. Today's Daily Hack is something that exposes media disinformation. It's a great site for true independent media reporting. It's called Vial's Investigations. He's a private investigator who's doing the same thing that I'm doing, but he's got his own spin, and I think he's out of Australia. Very, very cool, and he's trying to report on all the lies that are coming down. A good place to check on the Daily Checks. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of the new list. And the new list is Forleet, Druid Y. Simmeru, Tara, David, Jesse, Grey Ghost, Drake, Triad, Philip, Robert, Mainframe, Russell, Michael, Andrew, and user Christopher, Derek, Jesse, Joseph, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Matt, Steve, Brandon, Jesse, Peter, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Rosalie, Sergeant Tibbs, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Adam, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Richard, Brandon, Mark, Jonathan, Philip, Jason, Art, Matt, Duel, Michael, Charles, Lars Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. Thank you so much. And new this month, the reinforcement from Depot is Charles. Hey, Charles, welcome aboard, and thanks for signing up. And if you would like to deep deal this if you would like to help me get hooked on phonics, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps, guys. Thank you so much. And special thanks to the Hard Net Runners, the Flying Monkey Armada Reconnaissance Troop, who gets me these stories, Sabo, Sergeant Tib, Nightfall Gemini, Four Elite, Nocturnal Rain, Dead Code, Y-On-D, The Atomic Truth, and Tap Tap. Digital baptisms today, Silver Server is now called the By God Prophet. Upcoming events, don't forget about Phoenix Fest, and thanks again for everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Look Me in the Eye by Project 44, that's Project .44. So until tomorrow, I didn't tell you what I was going to leave you with. Well, I'm going to leave you with a track from my own personal soundtrack, which is just going to be talking about how, you know, it's like that, and that's the way it is, by Run DMC. Because realistically, there's a lot of news stories that you can't change, and we've got to make it going on. We've got to make sure that we look after ourselves. It's like that, and that's the way it is. Until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
And it goes a little something like this.
so.
Check this out.